I'm looking forward to hearing this man and also his new book. What next, Chicago? Good morning, Matt Rosenberg. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you today, Jeff?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Matt. Your book about Chicago, I want to get it, I want to read it, because I grew up in southern Wisconsin, and many, many, many times traveled down to Chicago to go to the Museum of Science and Industry on field trips while I was in grade school and high school, and then, of course, taking in the games over to Wrigley Field. But, man, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't go to Chicago today unless I'm in an armored tank. Take it from there.
Things have gone really downhill here. It is a great city. I've been enjoying it since I've been back this fall, but it's just not safe to walk the streets. Violent crime is spiraling out of control. The schools don't work. The court system in particular is broken. And then underneath it all, you've got endemic corruption and rigged rules of governance. So it's very problematic. Cities are failing. Chicago's failing the most. And we have a problem with political leadership here, the lack of it, and political rhetoric, which is really harmful. It's a very racial political rhetoric that our mayor, Lori Lightfoot, is using to make excuses for her inability to run this city right. So we've got serious, serious problems here, and it's very sad because this city's got an awful lot of potential and greatness in it.
Let me ask you this, Matt, nobody could answer this better than you, but what about the reign of Mayor Daley? And then the ending of that reign, or that regime, if you will, and then what's taken place since. When and how did all of the negativity start in Chicago to where it's been a downhill free-for-all ever since?
In the late 80s and early 90s, crime got a lot worse. Around that time, I think a lot of other things started to spiral downward and sideways, too. It's always been a very corrupt city. And, of course, we had two Mayor Daleys, as you're probably aware. Mm-hmm. Mayor Daley the first from 1955 to 1976 when he died, and then his son, Richard M. Daley, from 1989 all the way to 2011. During that time, Daley the Second did some good things. One was pushing school choice, but corruption got much worse and crime got a lot worse during that time, too. So, you know, now we're in a situation with Mayor Lori Lightfoot where everything seems to have gone out the window, and it's an unreality show every day. We've got, you know, rolling shootouts. That's the latest thing. We thought that expressway shootings were a new and horrible thing, and they are. But this summer in Chicago and this autumn, we've got rolling shootouts, which are guys just rolling down the streets, not the expressways, shooting at each other, and as always, innocent people are dying, including women and children. I think in the end, this goes back to the home environment. It goes back to two-parent households. There just aren't enough of them. It goes back to faith and family. We have a lot of talk about tactics and strategy in policing and in education about, you know, tweaking public policy the right way, and I believe all of that is tremendously important. It's not an either-or situation, but there are some very, very basics having to do with parents stepping up to do their jobs, and too often that's not happening, so we've got a tyranny of the minority. That's what we've got in Chicago, and it's just devastating.
Yeah, but Matt, I don't mean to whip this dead horse, but you got to help me on this. What happened?
Sure.
What happened to the leadership and or the voting public in Chicago that they could be duped into a complete chaotic situation where the stupidity, this woman is dumb, Lori Lightfoot. I mean, how in the world would taxpayers put up with such stupidity as this woman as their mayor?
No, you're right to pursue that line of questioning, Zeb, and my take on that is, well, first of all, I don't want to say people have been brainwashed, but we got to consider what's been going on in the universities in America for the last 50 years and the last 30 years. The people in charge of the city and many of the voters now have basically bought a new line of political rhetoric that everybody is a victim one way or another, except white people, of course. We're the oppressors no matter what. The good news is there's some backlash to this, but the bad news is people have tuned out of politics. So, Zeb, I think that's how this happens in a place like Chicago. And when Lightfoot got elected, and I will tell you this, she's not a stupid woman. She's intelligent. But she lacks the fiber and the character to do the job right. She's a University of Chicago Law School graduate. She was a federal prosecutor who put corrupt Chicago aldermen in jail. She'd done a lot of things and had an impressive resume. She was also going to be a corruption buster. But we're living in a time now, and you're well aware of this, and so are your listeners, when everything is hyper-racial. Right.
Yeah.
And so systemic racism is the theory that she uses to explain everything. And frankly, people are afraid to challenge that. That's one reason it's so bad politically now in Chicago. Anybody who challenges that line of malarkey is going to be called a racist just for challenging it. Number two, people don't vote. And I think that's one of the biggest problems we've got. Our registered voter turnout in local elections in Chicago is 33%. And that compares to 70% in Chicago during presidential elections. So one of the first things we need to do is change state law so Chicago's elections are held at the same time as presidential elections. That might help a whole lot.
Well, let me ask you.
Public employee unions, too, and that's a whole other thing, but I'll hold off on that.
Matt, let me ask you this question. Where you are today in Chicago with absolutely the four-letter word of fear, fear to all the residents and people traveling through Chicago. I mean, how in the world are you going to find enough Matt Dillons of the old Gunsmoke TV series in Dodge City? How are you going to clean up this mess?
It's an absolute mystery. The only way this is going to happen is with a bottom-up revolution. And I do want to point out, and I mentioned this in my book, there are good people fighting the good fight. There are pastors, there are parents, there are all kinds of people doing the right thing in their homes, in their churches, in their community nonprofits, even community development corporations. There are success stories on the South Side and on the West Side, charter schools, job training programs, black women being trained and certified as electricians. That happened this summer. There are parents doing homeschooling. There are people who realize that the words flying around are nonsense, that the politics flying around are nonsense, but there is no critical mass. Most people have tuned out or moved out. So it's very difficult. I think it can't start without pressure from the bottom and the top. In other words, we're going to elect a mayor again, either Lightfoot or someone better, many people hope, in 2023. So I think we need a leader kind of like Eric Adams, the black borough president of Brooklyn, who will be New York City's new mayor almost certainly. So we need leadership from the top and leadership from the bottom. Exactly how, you know, we get to that place, I can't say.
You know, respond to me, and I'm an old country boy. I don't have the knowledge of the inner workings of Chicago like you do by far. I know I've been there many, many, many times, and I've enjoyed the city, the restaurants, and everything else. But explain to me how somebody can come in there with an iron hand, like I was being a little bit fictitious when I said Matt Dillon of Gunsmoke and Dodge City, but really the gang problem is so severe in Chicago, how are you going to clean that mess up?
That, I think, does have to start with a very strong leader. And I will tell you, it has to be a political leader of color. This is the terminology we use. In Chicago, that means a black or Hispanic community leader, probably an elected official already. There's one guy I really like. I don't know if he'll run for mayor. Alderman Ray Lopez from the Southwest Side. He has called out the bogus racism shtick of Mayor Lori Lightfoot. He has spoken about the pernicious influence of generational gang culture. He has spoken out about the borderline breakdown of the family unit. Now, a man with the courage to speak those words these days in a big liberal progressive city like Chicago is a man to be taken seriously. I think we need someone like that who comes in, runs for mayor, gets elected, and then he says, guess what? I'm going to let the police do their job, and I'm going to use my bully pulpit to call on parents to do better. So I think that's how you would start. Now, how do we get such a person to run and win? That's a whole nother ball game. Right now, it's not clear what the field is going to look like.
Matt, we've got a caller with a question or a comment. And caller, go ahead, please. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I got a comment and a question. And so you've got people that are upright and mobile that are able to take the situation in their hands. And then you've got the destitute poor, and in most cases, it's probably blacks, and they're just tied to their neighborhoods, and they can't do anything but exist. And so you say they know that they have the right to vote, the destitute poor, but they won't go do it. I mean, do the blacks ever get tired of being played by their Democrat leaders who are white and black, and do they ever get tired of being treated like they're so stupid? I mean, they know better, don't they? I mean, can they not save themselves? I'll hang up.
Thank you.
Yes. The caller puts his finger on an extremely important issue. More and more black people in Chicago and around the country do know that they're being played by urban progressive political leaders who very often are also black or Hispanic. They know it, and yet there's a thing going on where they can't quite bring themselves to vote for a Republican or an independent. They're wedded in their minds to the Democratic Party. So that's a problem. The caller also speaks about the destitute poor who don't have an option to get out. But what he wonders, why wouldn't they at least vote? And I think maybe because they think it doesn't make any difference. Things are going to stay bad. So what you do, unfortunately, tragically, in Chicago, you buy a gun to protect yourself from all the other cowboys out there. And we have literally had aldermen call it the Wild West. And that has not just been once or twice. The aldermen talk about the very fear that you mentioned, Seth. It's an everyday factor. And it's interesting now. Now white people are feeling the heat because on the city's north side around Wrigley Field and other places a little closer to downtown, we have armed robbery crews popping out of cars and relieving, you know, 14 people of their wallets and phones in different strikes over the course of just 2 or 3 hours. we had a guy on the public transportation, the CTA Red Line, going at somebody with a hammer. And it turned out he'd done similar things at bus stops in the past, yet he was out on the street. There's just no end to the stories. It'll just curl your toes. So people are just very scared. If they can possibly get out, they're getting out. They're moving to Indiana. They're moving to Utah. They're probably moving to Idaho. They like Montana. They like the South. Tennessee is turning into a very popular destination. And that's the bigger issue here, even, perhaps, competition among cities. Now, I actually live in Seattle now. I lived in Chicago for 30 years. I've been back in Chicago quite a bit. Came back there for this book. But the competition among cities is serious. And cities like New York and Chicago and San Francisco are losing. People are gravitating toward places where the streets are safe, the schools actually teach children, and they're just, you know, there is very little corruption. And there's a prudent fiscal governance as well, which is another huge element of what's going wrong in Chicago. That, you know, that's probably another discussion for another time. But all of these things are combining together in a way that it's just tearing the heart and soul out of this city.
Yeah, but Matt, I would say this, and I'm going to have to wrap it up in a couple of minutes, and I'll say this, and I want you to correct me if you think I'm wrong. The moving aspect of these people to other locations, other cities, is just basically exacerbating the problem and increasing the problem to those new locations. We've got major cities, more than Chicago, that absolutely are linked to the same problems that Chicago has, be it Frisco, be it Seattle, Portland, you name it. And by just moving, that's not going to solve the problem. We've got to come up with some way that we can stop. I mean, slap it like a mosquito on your arm. It's got to stop this absolute horror of living in terror 24/7. I don't know what the answer is, but I'm open for any ideas you have.
I think we come back to kind of the sandwich approach. We need pressure from the top and pressure from the bottom. So it has to start, like I was saying, with electing a strong mayor, a viable political persona who is tough on crime and has a strong moral backbone and can carry that message out to the community. And at the same time, the pressure has to come from the bottom up in the communities where pastors, parents, community development corporations, and others step up and say, we're going to start to engineer success. It's got to be that pressure from both ends kind of approach. And the people who are moving, though, understand these are good people who want a better life for their children. But you're right. It doesn't solve the problem, because who's left behind? Essentially the very rich and the very poor.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest problems we see in places like Chicago. The middle class is being hollowed out. To even be in the middle class these days takes a whole different skill set. So a great deal of this goes back also to public education. I've talked an awful lot about the role of parents and the importance of a moral approach to life, and I don't back down on that, but we have to look hard at the public schools, at expanding school choice, at breaking the monopolistic urges of the teachers' unions, too. So, again, that's another longer discussion, but all of these things combined.
Matt, I'll tell you what, I have learned more about what's going on in Chicago from you than any other guest I've had on this program. Matt Rosenberg, author of the book, What Next Chicago? And let me ask you quickly, where can the book be found? I've got to read this book. What about my listeners? Where can they find it?
Absolutely. This is available online only, so either at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Just go there and search for What Next Chicago. And if they would like to learn more about what's going on in Chicago, they can go to my website, which is called ChicagoSchooled.com. schooled.com, and schooled is spelled with a K. They'll find lots more there.
You're excellent. I hope you'll consent to coming back in the future. Matt Rosenberg, thank you so much.
It would be my pleasure, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Very, very interesting and informative conversation about what's going on with the perils and the evils and the sins in Chicago. And Matt Rosenberg, very interesting individual.